Takes a minute for it to kick in. Let me back this off. A little bit hot, Brother Bob. May have to back me down just a moment, a little bit. I want to say a word of thanks to Brother Reed, our choir, and all of our special musicians today. I thought the music program today was fabulous. But that's what it ought to be. You know, we come to church, celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We ought to be excited about it, sing about it. And I think everything about today was just wonderful. As far as spending some time with the Lord and just having a good time of fellowship with believers. Well, take your Bible, if you would, church, tonight and open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to continue in our study about ministering to the multitudes. For those of you that are visiting, we've been studying and preaching on Sunday nights about our theme, which you see here on our banners, ministering to various types of people. You know, Jesus, when he stood on the Mount of Olives, looked across Jerusalem, and he was moved because they were sheep being scattered abroad, having no shepherd. And You know, he has left us here on this earth to minister on his behalf. And that's what we've been trying to learn about and do a little bit better job in that since Jesus now has ascended back to the right hand of the Father. 2 Corinthians 5, if you would please, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 14. So let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now I want you to notice verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, church. And hath given to us, that's the church, hath given to the believers the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because he's given us a ministry to fulfill in his absence, and that is reconciling the world back to Christ and back to God. He says, now we are the ambassador, or we are an ambassador for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And I want to use these passages of Scripture tonight, church, and just take out of verse number 18, the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Now, Father, bless our time that we have together tonight. We look forward to what you have for us. Teach us, Holy Ghost of God, and we'll thank you for what we shall learn tonight in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You can be seated. Many of you will never know a man by the name of Bob Butler. Bob Butler lost his legs in 1965 in a landmine explosion in Vietnam. When he returned home, he was a war hero, and 20 years after that, Bob Butler never dreamed that he'd be a hero once again. In his small home and little small subdivision in Arizona, he was working in his garage one day, and he heard the scream of a woman. Bob Butler was in a wheelchair, no legs. He rolled out of his garage and began to try to figure out exactly what direction the scream was coming from. Well, once he kind of figured out what direction the scream was coming from, he rolled down the road in his wheelchair, and he pinpointed what house the scream was coming from. And he rolled over and tried to get through the back gate and couldn't get through the back gate because of the hedges and stuff. Bob Butler hopped out of his wheelchair and made his way to the backyard to find a woman screaming to the top of her lungs. Her little three-year-old little girl had fallen into the swimming pool. Now, you say, well, why didn't she just climb out? Her three-year-old little girl was born with no arms. And her three-year-old little girl had wandered out. The little girl's name was Stephanie, and she had wandered out into the backyard, and over in the swimming pool, she fell. Bob Butler frantically, no legs, went to the edge of the swimming pool, located the little girl at the bottom, and dove in after her. Bob Butler only had arms, no legs, swam to the bottom of the swimming pool, recovered the little girl, brought her back, put her back on the bank, pulled himself out of the swimming pool, and knowing how to perform CPR, began to perform CPR on the little girl. The mama began to scream and call 911, and it was a small town, and they said, listen, the fire department and the medical people, the paramedics will be there as soon as they can. They're out on another call. She began to kneel down there and put her arm around Bob Butler's shoulder and begin to yell and say, listen, is my little girl going to live? Is she going to live? And he said, ma'am, don't worry. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He said, I will be her lungs. He said, I was her arms that pulled her out of that swimming pool. He said, ma'am, it's going to be all right. And as he began to perform CPR on that little girl, just a few minutes later, the little girl coughed and regained consciousness and began to cry. Oh, the mom was so happy, and she hugged and Bob Butler, and they rejoiced together. And she said, how did you know that everything was going to be okay? Bob Butler looked up here and says, well, the truth is, ma'am, I didn't know it was going to all be okay. He says, but I want to say something to you. He said, 20 years ago on a battlefield, my legs were blown off by a landmine. He said, I don't know how long I laid out on that battlefield. But he says, when I came to, there was a little Vietnamese girl standing over me, trying to pull me. And she was saying, mister, it be all right. She said, I be your legs. I take care of you. We make it together. And as the little girl began to struggle and pull Bob Butler, he listened to her as she began to encourage him. She said, you're not alone. I be your legs. I be your legs. I take you home. You be okay. Bob Butler never forgot those words. She laid in a hospital, saved by a little Vietnamese girl who helped him and drug him to safety. She lay in the hospital bed. He looked up to heaven. He said, Lord God, if I can ever be to someone else what this little girl was to me, would you please provide me that opportunity? Bob Butler never knew 20 years later he would become someone's arms who had no arms. Where that little Vietnamese girl became his legs and drug him to safety, God gave him the opportunity to reconcile that little girl back to her mother. May I say to you tonight, church, that there will be many times in your life that God will need you to be someone's legs. That God will need you to be someone's arms or someone's legs, someone's lungs. God will need you to be available to His will, compatible to His Spirit, and listen to me, and usable in the work. He's going to need to you and I to fulfill those three things: available, compatible, and usable in reconciling the world back to Himself. May I remind you that Jesus Christ became all these things to God the Father. He became available. He was compatible. He was usable. And Jesus was all three of these. Would you turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment? Philippians chapter 2. Look in Philippians chapter 2. You'll recognize it. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus Christ became our Passover lamb that was slain on behalf of you and I so that we could be free, so that we could be reconciled and called back together into the presence of God. You see, the word reconcile was derived from a Latin word, and that Latin word is reconcilio, which literally means to call back into union. You see, it literally means to call back together the affections that have been alienated, to restore favor after there has been estrangement. You see, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says this, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. May I remind you that Jesus became what you could not become? Jesus became your sacrifice, just like Bob Butler became that little girl's arms. Just like that little Vietnamese girl became Bob Butler's legs when he could not help himself. Jesus Christ came and provided for you and I what we needed, which was redemption, salvation. You see, sometimes, may I remind you that this ministry of reconciliation, and in this ministry of reconciliation that we are called to as believers, will be one that is going to consist of some things that Jesus had to endure. May I remind you, it will consist of personal suffering from time to time. I said, when you work at reconciling people and helping people, you will suffer many times persecution and personal suffering for it. Sometimes you'll suffer rejection by those who just do not understand. Do you know there are people, when a Christian tries to help someone that are being told by other people, why are you helping them? Why are you helping them? They're not worth it. Can't you tell? They don't care. May I remind you, before I was saved, I didn't care either. I didn't care about Christ. I didn't care about church. But somebody stayed after it and stayed after it and stayed after it. Yeah, there may be some that may not, in the outward appearance, look like they care. But let me tell you something. Sometimes when you in this ministry of reconciliation, you will suffer personal suffering. And many times, sometimes rejection comes by those who do not understand. May I say also, sometimes you get abandoned by people you thought were your friends. You get abandoned by people that you thought with your friends. I wonder how many friends along the way the Apostle Paul lost. I wonder how many friends along the way that Peter lost. Let me make it a little more personal. I wonder how many friends along the way that some of you have lost because you have stayed to work in reconciling people back to the Lord. You see, many will abandon us. We thought they were our friends. May I say that sometimes false accusations will come by evil men. If you'll remember, Jesus went through every one of these. Lied about, abandoned, rejected, personal suffering. And you know what he was trying to do? All he's trying to do was to reconcile you and I back to God. He was trying to do and doing the right thing, and yet he was rejected and despised among men. But may I say to you that in this ministry of reconciliation, there's some positive things. May I say to you that there's joy unspeakable and full of glory in it. To see the restoration and the things happening in people's lives. Let me tell you something, dear friend. When you see people whose lives are transformed by the glory of God, let me tell you, it is exciting. It brings a joy that nothing else will bring. But may I say also, the fruit of the salvation of a soul. The excitement. Listen, Mrs. Barnett came to me tonight. She was so excited talking about this dear man who came to Christ. She told me how they got them here. They just saw him walking down the road and said, hey, I need you guys to come to church with us. They said, talk to him. All right, came there. Two of the three got saved. One got baptized. Hey, you know what? That's exciting. You know what she's doing? She's participating in the ministry of reconciliation. Of doing everything she could to call back together the affections of these men that were once alienated by sin. You see, the restoration of a prodigal or a fallen brother, to see them back in fellowship with God, plus the glory that it brings God the Father. You see that wonderful picture of the prodigal son? You think that daddy was happy when that son came back? Oh yes, he was happy. Now may I say to you that some people weren't happy, but the Father was happy. And may I say to you that this ministry of reconciling men and women and boys and girls back to the Father, may I remind you, it brings God glory. Do you think a child of God or someone dying and going to hell without Christ brings any glory to God? Brings no glory to Him. Yet it's our job, He said. He commissioned us that ministry. Well, the Corinthian church understood perfectly what Paul was communicating to them when he said that he extended to them the ministry of reconciliation. You see, they had heard this speech before about being a help to those in need. Would you take your Bible for a moment and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would, please. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Now, I think if you've been studying and reading in the Scriptures, you'll find that there's a big difference between the Corinthian Christians and people from 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, he says, now I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. But listen, he couldn't do it in 1 Corinthians because I want you to notice what he said in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then look at verse 11. He says, and such were some of you. Listen to me, church. He said, and such were some of you. You see, the thing about it in this list of things, you say, oh, I can't find myself in there anywhere, preacher. Well, may I say to you that if you have never experienced a time of covetousness in your life, then please let me know what formula you're using, because ain't nobody else has. All of us at some point met the criteria. He says, and such were some of you. But he says, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5, they understood what he's talking about because such was some of them. Some of them were adulterers and fornicators and effeminate. Some of them were thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. Hey, they understood quite well what the apostle was talking about. And may I say to you tonight, dear church, such were some of us before we got saved. Such were some of us that were mixed up in all this perverseness. You see, this ministry of reconciliation cannot be done in the power of our own strength. This is a ministry that requires supernatural power and supernatural intervention. Listen to me. We waste too much time trying to change people instead of just being available, compatible, and usable. Now, folks, listen. That's the reason people get tired in the work, because they spend all of their energy trying to change people themselves. You're not going to change anybody. God is who's going to change. Hey, he's the only one that's going to bring somebody from death unto life. You and I can't do that. May I say to you, you can't change anyone, but God can. All we need to be is available, compatible, and usable in that ministry. God tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13, he says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All he needs from us is availability. All he needs from us is compatibility, in tune with the Spirit of God, surrender to the Spirit of God, and then usable. Then our passage tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think the key word in our passage that we read here is the word ambassadors. He said, we are now a representation of Jesus Christ. Because when he came into this world, his purpose was to reconcile the world back to the Father. And now that he's at the right hand of God, he has now commissioned us that ministry of reconciling men and women and boys and girls back to God. We have the word of the King behind us and the power of God behind us. Now, here's the message in a nutshell, and I'll be done here in just a second. First of all, there's two types of reconciling that needs to be done. In this ministry of calling back together the affections that have been alienated, which we learned that prior to Christ, we were alienated from God, and to restore favor after there has been estrangement. In other words, after there has been separation. There's two types of reconciling that needs to be done by every believer. First of all, there's a reconciling of the lost man back to his Creator. There's the reconciling of the lost man back to his Creator. And the second type of reconciling that needs to be going on among believers is the reconciling of the wandering believer back to the Father. So there's two types that have to be going on at the same time that we're supposed to be practicing. So when Paul said that we have the ministry of reconciling, of bringing two things, calling people back into union with God, there's two types. We got to call and reach the sinner and reconcile them back to the Creator, and then reconcile the wandering believer back to the Father. Twofold ministry there. Now may I say to you, some of us are not involved in either one. Some of us are not involved in reconciling anyone back to the Father for any reason. The church, listen to me. We must keep soul winning alive or we will die as a church. Listen to me. I said we'll die as a church if we put off the ministry of reconciling sinners back to the Creator. We must keep restoring the fallen or we're going to get a bad reputation as a church among the lost and the saved. I don't want anybody to come into this church and somebody jump their case about the way they look, what they wear. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. How did some of you look when you first came? What did you look like before you got saved? Hey, the thing about it is I'm ashamed of my past before I got saved. But listen, if you really want to see what I looked like prior to salvation, I'll show you a picture sometime. But let me tell you something, that's what sin will do to you. May I say to you, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. And yet we're given the ministry of reconciliation. We've got to keep soul winning alive. We've got to keep restoring the fallen. Listen to me, where there is no vision, the people perish. We've got to look beyond the faults of people and see their need. Is that not what Jesus did for you and I on the cross of Calvary? He looked beyond your fault and He saw your need. Your need was salvation. He looked beyond the filth of your soul. He looked beyond how you looked. See, we've got to be able to look beyond people's faults and see their needs. We've got to keep soul winning alive. We've got to keep going after people. We've got to continually see the baptistry stirred. Listen to me. The day that stops is a day we're on our way to the bottom. Why? Because we are no longer participating in a ministry that was left to us by God Almighty. Hey, listen. At least under my watch, this church is not going to become a highfalutin societal club. That's not what we're here for. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. There's all kinds of things you can get involved in outside the church there, all kinds of groups and stuff. And hey, listen, as long as they're right, as long as they're straight, as long as they're pure, fine. But that's not what church is about. We are given a ministry, and that is to reconcile the world back to the Creator. Reconcile people back to the Father. That's what our job is. It's what Jesus did His entire ministry. Spent His whole time reconciling people. Spent the whole time doing it. Now that He ascended, you know what He commissioned us to do? Reconcile. Reconcile. So there's two types of reconciling. The lost man back to the Creator, the wandering believer back to the Father. Number two, to be an effective reconciler. Okay, I don't even know if that's a word, but I just threw that in there. But to be an effective reconciler, listen to me, you must reconcile with God. I said, if you're going to be an effective reconciler, you're going to have to be reconciled to God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen now. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Listen now. What did He tell them? He said, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. So if we're going to be the most effective at ministering to the multitudes and reconciling the lost back to the Creator and reconciling the wandering believer back to the Father, guess what we're going to do if we're going to be effective? We're going to have to reconcile some things with God. You see, we're going to have to do some reconciling ourselves. First of all, we're going to have to reconcile our spirit. We're going to have to get a right spirit. We're going to have to change the way that you and I are and how we're responding. We're going to have to live right. You know what we may have to do? Some of us may have to go home and throw some stuff out in the trash and get rid of some things that are hindering us, that are lures to us. We're going to have to reconcile our spirit to the right type of living, to the right type of lifestyle. May I say also to you that we need to reconcile our mind. Not only should we live right, but we need to start thinking right. Some of us aren't thinking right. And the reason we're not thinking right is because we haven't reconciled. We haven't called back into union our affections. We have not brought back together our relationship with God. Our relationship is killing us, folks. It's killing our homes. It's killing our Christianity. We've got to have a relationship with God. You say, preacher, I just don't know how to have a relationship with God. Well, listen, come see me and we'll pray and I'll show you from the Scriptures where to start. But we've got to have the right relationship with God. We've got to reconcile our spirit. We've got to live right. We've got to reconcile our mind. We've got to think right. Oh, and listen, this is going to get a little touchy, okay? But turn your Bible, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, I want to say to you, number 3, some of us need to reconcile with our brother. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Look in Matthew 5 and verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there, at the altar, rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there, at the altar, thy gift. Or leave thy gift before the altar. Now listen to this. And go thy way first, and be what? What does your Bible say? It says, and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, folks, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? Some of us are going to need to get right with some of the others that you go to church with. I said some of us are going to need to get right with some people that you go to church with that's either turned or twisted you the wrong way or rubbed you the wrong way or you've got a bad spirit of God. Listen to me. You know what this altar needs to be filled with tonight? People reconciling to one another. Hey, how can we be what we need to be if we got people in the church that are constantly griping each other, criticizing each other? Hey, he says, be ye reconciled to God. He says, there's some that you need to reconcile. In other words, they need to call back to union their affections that have been alienated from one another. And you know, people get rubbed the wrong way about some of the silliest things. Now, folks, listen to me. Sometimes it's because we don't get our way. I said sometimes it's because we don't get our way. I said sometimes it's because we don't get our way. And because we don't get our way, you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw a fit. And we're going to let everybody else around us know that we are not a happy camper. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think? What glory do you think that's going to bring God? What good do you think that's going to do the brethren? That's not going to do anything. You know what the biblical way to do? The biblical thing to do is to reconcile, get it right so that you both can serve God, come to church with the right heart and the right spirit. And let me just say another thing. Running ain't going to help. You can run wherever you want. You can run to another church. That ain't going to help because the problem's in you. Okay? The problem's not around you. The problem's in you. And if we're going to be what we need to be, we've got to reconcile our spirit, reconcile our mind. We've got to reconcile with our brother. Hey, it may be that the reason that ministry, or maybe this ministry of reconciliation has become so unimportant to so many is because we haven't done much reconciling with our God. We haven't come to the conclusion and reconciled our spirit, reconciled our mind, reconciled the brother. Now listen to me. Some of us need to reconcile our sin. you hear me? I said, some of us need to reconcile our sin. Some of us may be mixed up in some things that we should not be mixed up with. We need to confess it. We need to forsake it. We need to condemn it. Because you listen, until the day that you do, the ministry of reconciliation is going to be non-important to you. You will never be effective. Our church will never be effective. You say, well, preacher, you know what? I think about 45% of us are right. Well, let me ask you this. What percentage of the people of God weren't right and God still judged them? Last time I checked, Achan was one person. One person. And you know what God did? God judged the people of God because of one person. I wonder if every church member was like, including myself, if every church member was like us, saying that that is a personal thing, if every church member was like you, what condition would our church be in? What condition spiritually would our church be in if every church member was like you or like me? What would our prayer life be? What would our Bible reading be? What would our soul winning be if everybody was like me? You see, some of us need to reconcile our sin. We just need to go before the throne of grace and just confess what we're involved in. Now you listen to me, church, and you listen to me well. Some of us are involved in wrong associations. You're associated with people that you know good and well are no good. And you're associated with them for thinking, okay? Here's what I found out. I found out that when I've got two glasses of water, one's dirty and one's clean, it doesn't matter which one I pour the other one into, the dirt always affects the clean. Always affects it. There is no such thing of me pouring dirty water into a clean glass of water and that water being not affected. It's always affected. And let me tell you something. As Dr. Smith said some time ago, I think it's good advice from his daddy. If you get around skunks, you're going to get skunk on you. It's just the way it is. And some of us, you know what? We got some wrong associations, and we got some skunk on us. And everybody knows it, because you know what? When you get skunk on you, you stink. You say, no, nobody can smell me. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can smell your attitude. They can see your spirit. They know what you're doing. You see, why? Because some of us have wrong associations. May I say, some of us have wrong relationships. And folks, listen, I just feel that, you know, we need to get a little bit personal with this tonight, because I found out when you beat around the bush, people don't get it. And you listen to me, and you listen to me well. I don't know if there's somebody in this congregation or not, but some of us have wrong relationships. Some of us may be fooling around. Amen, preacher. I said, some of you men, some of you ladies may be fooling around. And if you're fooling around, let me say something to you. The thing about it is, you're affecting everybody. You're affecting your church. You're affecting your family. You're affecting your relationship with God. You're going to cost people their soul because of it. Some of us have wrong relationships. You better be careful. You better be careful. Some of us have a wrong home life. We live one way at church, another way at home. We're hypocrites. Let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect you personally, your home, your family, your marriage, your children, and your church. And let me tell you something, folks. We're going to come to a stalemate in our ministry unless we get right. You see, I'm just saying that sometimes it's going to require reconciling of ourselves back to our holy God. Boy, I hate to go here, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've done come this far. Some of us need to reconcile our sin, because some of us got a wrong private life. Amen, preacher. And listen, I don't know if there's some in this congregation, but I'd say probably a congregation this size, there's probably some people listening to the wrong kind of music. And you listen to me, and you listen to me well, and you need to look right up here when I say this. The wrong kind of music with the wrong kind of message with a satanic backing behind it is an open door to devils in your life. You're going to open the door to devils in the life of your children. You're going to open doors to the devil in the life of your family, and he will destroy it. Listen, you wouldn't open the door to a weirdo to come into your home, would you? No! Well, then why, mamas and daddies, are you allowing your children to listen to the wrong kind of music? Why are we doing that? Wrong private life. Some are listening to the wrong kind of music. Some are watching the wrong type of TV shows. Hey, and we wonder why on the playground the kids are punching each other in the face, kicking each other, and talking to each other like they are. Why? You know why they see it? On TV. And we sit there and we let people, the people that we say we love the most, and we let them sit there and watch that dirt. Amen. Isn't this good? Hey, listen to me. Listen, everybody look right up here, right? It's not time to pray yet. Look. What I'm saying to you is that it's time for us to get back into the ministry of reconciling. How can we do it if we don't reconcile to God? If we don't get our life right with our sin? Some tonight, it may not be music for you. It may not be violence on TV for you. It may be something else. And I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me well. Immorality is destroying the people of God. Pornography is destroying the people of God. There might be some here tonight that, you know what, that you need to reconcile before your mighty God and holy God tonight. I'm telling you, dear friend, we know our hearts, we know our motives, and the kingdom of God is suffering because we're playing religion, playing church. We come and we wear our suit and tie. We wear our nice clothing to church. We smile and shake hands and then go home and get right on the computer and look at things we shouldn't be looking at. Listening to things we shouldn't be listening to. Watching things that we shouldn't be watching. I'm just saying that, you know what, if we're going to be an effective reconciler, we're going to have to reconcile with God. We're going to have to get right. We're going to have to come to an altar tonight, and we're just going to say, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And see, that's the first step. Some of us don't think we're guilty. Oh, preacher, it just happened once or twice. I've never found very many people that got hooked into a vice or an addiction that only got into it once or twice. Let me tell you something. Once you get a taste for it, my friend, it's almost impossible for you to get off without the power of God to release you. Because what happens, those vices, that immorality, that pornography, that music, that violence, what happens? You open a door to the devil. And then he comes in, he gets a stronghold in your life. Let me tell you something, you're in for a fight now, my friend. Because he ain't going to give up that ground easily. We got to get back involved in reconciling. Well, here's the last thing real quick and I'm done. And that's the ministry of reconciliation has some ingredients. Let me give them to you. First of all, Jude 22. The first ingredient, if we're going to be good reconcilers and we're going to reconcile the lost back to the Creator, we're going to reconcile the wandering believer back to the Father, ingredient number one, compassion. Compassion. Jude 22, and some have compassion. Listen to me. Making a difference. You see, there's just some people, listen to me, church, you're just going to have to love to Jesus. You're just going to have to love them to Jesus. Some of them aren't going to respond. So you know what you're going to do? You're just going to have to love them. You're just going to have to extend compassion to them. May I say to you that in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, Paul commanded the churches of Galatia, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, listen now, he said, ye which are spiritual, time out just a minute, I think he might be referring to those who have reconciled to God. Who have gotten their life right with God. He says, ye which are spiritual, what did he tell them to do? Kick them? Boot them out of the church? Separate from them and say, you know what? You got too much skunk on you. Now he said, restore such an one. Listen now, remember we talked about reconciling our spirit? He said, in the spirit of what? Meekness. Got to have the right spirit. And listen, here's the compassion. Considering thyself. Lest thou also be tempted. That's where the compassion comes in. May I remind you that Paul brought the attention to the church there at Corinth, he says, and such were some of you. and such were some of you. Isn't it amazing how that we despise in the lives of others things that we allow ourselves? I said, isn't it amazing how we despise in the lives of others things that we allow in our own life? I found out people mixed up in the wrong thing seem to despise it in the life of others and are very clear to attack them when they're doing the exact same thing. You know why? Because they can't stand their life. They can't stand how they do it, so when they see it in somebody else, it's just immediate attack mode. You see, compassion is a key ingredient to reconciliation. May I say to you, number two, turn if you would to Mark 9 real quick. Mark 9, ingredient number two. Ingredient number two. Mark 9, 29. Let me preface this and say this. Remember, man had a young boy that was full of the devil. Remember, it would throw him down and tear him and cast him into the fire. I mean, just all kinds of crazy things. And the man brought the boy to his disciples, hoping that they could cast the devils out of that boy. But they couldn't. So then, when Jesus came, the man brought the boy to Jesus, and Jesus cast the devils out of that boy. Now his disciples are scratching their head and think, yeah, man, didn't we just do the same thing? We did the same thing that he did. Why couldn't we cast that boy or that devil, maybe he's right, maybe cast that boy out of that devil, or cast that devil out of that boy? I want you to look at Mark chapter 9. Are you there? And verse 29. Let me look at verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he, Jesus, said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing. There's no other way to do what I just did, he said, but by prayer and fasting. Ingredient number two, compassion. Ingredient two, prayer and fasting. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We can say, oh, preacher, I sure hope we meet our goal on Friend Day. Oh, preacher, I just feel good about meeting our goal. Well, you can feel good all you want, but if we don't invest some prayer and fasting, it ain't happening. You hear me? Because this kind, what we're asking God to do as far as the number of people to be here, the number of people to be saved and baptized, this kind will come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Do you want this kind of church? Do you want this kind of power with God? Do you want this kind of heart for souls? Listen to me. Some of the greatest soul winners I've ever met are also some of the greatest prayers I've ever met. Why? They understand the concept. They understand what it means to reconcile to God. Now, let me give you ingredient number three. I said ingredient number one was compassion. Ingredient number two is prayer and fasting. Ingredient number three is faith. Is faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Stop. Did that father hope that boy would come back home? Did he hope that boy would come back home? Yes, he did. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But let me tell you something, my friend. When he did see it, it was glory to God. You see, the thing about it is, you invest in people. You love people. You have compassion with people. You pray for people. You fast for people. You may not see the fruit right away or in another month or maybe even another year. But you know what you do? You keep trusting God. You see, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, he told the Corinthian church, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Matter of fact, before Jesus cast the devils out of that boy, you know what he asked his daddy? You believe? You got faith? He said, yeah, I've got faith. Help my unbelief. He says, good enough. Cast some devils out. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you'll remember, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to be a good reconciler? Then reconcile to God. You want to be a good minister of reconciliation? have compassion on people. Because if remember, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Prayer and fasting. And then faith. Faith. Just believe God can turn them around. Some of us have loved ones. Some of us have friends that are lost. Some of us have loved ones that are out of the will of God. Can I say something to you tonight? Have compassion on them, considering thyself. Pray, fast for them, and then just trust God, because He's the only one that's going to change them. He's the only one. You see, what you do is you never give up, you never give in, and you never give out. God needs every believer involved in this ministry. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say tonight, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved, I've been born into the family of God. No question about it. Slip your hand up way up high and say, that's me. No question about it. I know that if Jesus came tonight, or if the trumpet sounded,